morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. Jeremiah 48, verse 10. Cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently, and cursed be the one who restrains his sword from blood. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us here. And thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for just this opportunity to come and pray to you and meditate upon your word. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and speak to us and encourage us, God, and challenge us. And we just want to be open to your spirit this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I just want to share with you a little bit of just what I've been meditating upon in my own quiet time with God. And I've been going through Jeremiah in my own personal readings. And this passage, or this verse, just stuck out to me. It says, cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently, and cursed be the one who restrains his sword from blood. So first, we need to read it in context. What this is saying is it's God speaking this. This whole chapter is a prophecy against this nation or this people of Moab. And God is kind of speaking of his judgment that is coming upon Moab. And this verse is thrown in there, and God is speaking this to the Babylonians, right? The Babylonians were the people that were in power at this time. And the Babylonians were the ones that were going to bring judgment upon Israel as well. But the Babylonians were also going to be the people that were going to be used by God, basically, to carry out this judgment upon Moab. That's why God is saying this to Babylon and saying, hey, cursed be the one. Don't take this work lightly, and don't, you know, keep from drawing your sword against Moab, because God is pronouncing judgment upon Moab and is telling the Babylonians, you know, like, don't be negligent in this work that I've commanded you to do, basically. So in that context, it's not really talking about us. But just when I was reading the scriptures yesterday, this verse just stuck out to me. And there's two types of readings when it comes to the Bible, right? One is we want to read it in context, we want to study, and we want to really know how the verse fits into the context. We don't want to just take verses out of context, but sometimes when we read the Bible, there are verses and passages that kind of stick out to you, and God is kind of speaking to you through these passages that come to you. You're reading it more meditatively rather than kind of studying it in terms of, like, its context and the background and everything. And this verse just stuck out to me in that sense of the word, in that sense of reading the scriptures. It just felt like God was kind of directing me to read the scripture and meditate upon this a little bit more. In the NIV, it says, a curse on anyone who is lax in doing the Lord's work. A curse on anyone who keeps their sword from bloodshed. The ESV version says, cursed is he who does the work of the Lord with slackness, and cursed is he who keeps back his sword from bloodshed. So there are two things that the curse is pronounced against. One is negligence, being lax in doing God's work, slacking off, doing God's work with slackness, not doing a very good job, basically not giving our very best in doing God's work. But the second one here, cursed is a curse on anyone who keeps their sword from bloodshed. And what I get from that is this is a real poignant picture of someone that is passive. You guys might have heard a sermon on against a spirit of passivity, you know. Basically, there are times when bloodshed needs to happen. There are things in our lives or maybe situations that's going on where we need to, it demands bloodshed in a way. You know, it demands us to fight back, draw our sword out of our sheath and do something about it. This thing that's happening, it must not go on. It requires bloodshed, but we're keeping back our sword for whatever reason. There's a picture of that also in 1 Samuel, I think it's 1 Samuel 10, when King Saul just gets chosen and appointed to be king. And King Saul is such an interesting character. He's so insecure and so scared of people. He's always plagued by the fear of man. And there's another picture of passivity where he gets appointed and Samuel basically calls him out. He has a lot drawn with everybody, all the people of Israel, because they wanted a king. And all the lot comes, and it comes down to Saul. And they're like, where is Saul? Because it's time for him to come up and kind of receive his appointment as king. But he is hiding by the barrels or something like that because he's so scared. He doesn't want to be in front of people. But so they find him and they call him out. And he's a head taller than everybody. And Samuel says, this is your king. And people are excited. But at the end of chapter 10, I think it's chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, there's a verse that says, some worthless men, some scoundrels, were saying about Saul, like, who is this guy? How is he going to deliver us from the hand of the Philistines? And it says, but Saul kept silent. You know, these worthless men were kind of talking behind his back, but it seems like Saul knew about it. Saul knew that there were these men, worthless scoundrels, that were talking behind his back and creating this disunity and division. But it says, but Saul kept silent. And scholars are divided whether this was a good thing, like Saul was a man that kind of knew, you know, his identity and wasn't bothered by people saying bad things. But I don't think so. I think the way that the scriptures make Saul, picture Saul, it seems like he was not doing anything, maybe out of insecurity. You know, he didn't want to stand up to people. He didn't want to be rejected. He was fear of man. He struggled with all that, so he's passive in this. Maybe as king, he should have done something. He should have gone up to them, addressed the situation, and said, hey, what's going on? You know, why are you saying this? Whatever he needed to do, maybe it didn't have to be judgment, but he could have done something, but he just keeps silent and let these kinds of things go on, negative things go on. Another picture of passivity is found in 2 Samuel 11, and this time with King David. Right, this is at the time, well, we can turn there, 2 Samuel 11. This is talking about King David and Bathsheba. It says in verse 1, it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab his servant with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. And we know what happens after, you know, he stays in Jerusalem, and in the evening time, David arises from his bed, walks around, sees a woman on the roof, and, you know, adultery, affair, and eventually commits a great sin. But here in verse 11, it says, it happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent his men, Joab and other people, to go out to battle, but David stayed back in Jerusalem. In the next verse, we see him taking a nap and getting up in the evening. And again, I mean, this passivity leads David to this grave sin. It's a time when kings are supposed to go out to battle, it says, but David remained in Jerusalem out of his comfort, you know, out of his maybe his laziness, out of his... I don't know what it could be. I think it's probably just being comfortable. You know, he's comfortable. He's done a lot as a king, and there's peace in the land maybe, and things are going well. So he feels that it's not necessary for me to go out. I'm just going to send my men to go and do what I'm supposed to do, which is to go out to battle. And I'm going to let him take care of it. I'm just going to stay back. I'm going to take a nap. And in that kind of passive mode, temptation comes and sin happens to King David. So I just want us to think about that. There are some things in this world that demand action from us Christians. You know, there are things in our lives going on in this world, in this city. It deserves bloodshed. We can't keep our sword back and pretend like it's not going on, or pretend like everything is okay. But often, I feel, and this is speaking to myself too, often I think we can be just too comfortable for action. We are so comfortable in our safe Christian bubble in this church setting, and we don't want to go out for action. We don't want to actually draw our sword and do something that's going to cause bloodshed. We just get satisfied with, you know, what we do at church, you know, having our worship service and having our house church, which is great, and we get to discuss and share what God is doing, and we get encouraged and all that stuff. But when it comes to going out and actually, you know, being missional in our lifestyle, you know, reaching out to those that are in need, getting a little uncomfortable, and maybe it's sharing the gospel with our colleagues or joining a ministry and going out and actually, you know, engaging and developing relationships with people that are not Christian. I had a great opportunity to really realize just how comfortable I had become. This past week, I joined my youth group kids, and we did a program through YWAM. And you know YWAM, their basic entry program is their discipleship training school, which is a six-month program, right? 3 months of growing and lecture and listening to the Lord, 3 months of going out and doing outreach. And so they have compressed it down to a two-week program, and it's for youth, young people, 13 to 18. And first week is this lecture phase. They go to ICA every day, 9 to 5. They listen to the Lord and they listen to this lecture. And then the second week, we spent the whole week, Monday through Friday, at the YWAM base out in Yuen Long. And we went out, and every day we went to these different ministries, you know. And I just realized that for me, church is such a safe environment. You know, for me, being here at church and leading worship, even speaking at EMP and at church in different settings and teaching at youth group, different things, teaching GIC, all those things are pretty regular for me. And it's a safe place for me. And church is, it's a nice place. It's a church full of expats, right? We have this expat community here, and I have a very nice home that I live in Cornhill, and just I have my routine that works for me, you know? I like things to be in order, and I have my routine. Monday is my day off, Tuesday through Sunday I work, and all these things, and I'm happy with it. But last week's experience at this outreach really just showed me, man, I'm so comfortable in my setting, and sometimes I need to be pulled out of my comfort zone so that I can be get out of this kind of this passive mindset. Because I think being comfortable leads us to this passive place where we're not really pushing ourselves to get involved and engage with what God is doing. We just kind of, I think we can do that. Sometimes just get busy with kind of what we're doing, but we're not really thinking about things out there that really deserves bloodshed from us, you know, that we draw our sword and we destroy what the enemy is doing. So with this outreach, it was such an uncomfortable experience. YWAM base, I don't know if you've been to YWAM base in Hong Kong. There's two YWAM bases. There's the Toon Moon base and Yuen Long base. And if you ever want to visit a YWAM base, you should visit the Toon Moon base because it's much nicer. We spent some time at the Toon Moon base, I think, last year or 2 years ago. Very nice. The Yuen Long base is truly ghetto, you know? And Pete Sam said on Sunday when we're praying for Jesse that YWAM is supposed to be youth through the mission, but it also stands for youth without any money, right? And this organization really does not have that much money because everyone, it's a volunteer thing. Everybody raises their own funds. So, I mean, the place we stayed at, it was the Judah House. And apparently, even amongst the YWAMers in Yuen Long, Judah House is known to be the dirtiest, right? So it was just, I was there, and I was in Cambodia the week before, and I thought Cambodia was much more comfortable and nicer than Judah House at the YWAM base in Yuen Long. And it's just dirty. There's not even a phone connection. Like, I can't go on my phone. I can't do anything. Like, if I have to use Wi-Fi, I have to get out of the Judah House, walk to the YWAM base, and sit outside in the courtyard where there's tons of mosquitoes and just, there's Longan falling from the tree that's like up above. Like, it's just not a nice place. So I was very uncomfortable, first of all, like physically. And then I had to follow this schedule. You know, like I said, I have my routine that works for me, right? I like things to be in order. I like things done my way. And I had to follow this youth group outreach schedule. And I was like, uncomfortable. You know, like I had to get up at a certain time. And we had to stay out. And honestly, part of me was, yeah, I'm just here as a chaperone. Like, do I really have to participate in everything? But God rebuked me, and I was like, okay, God. I felt like God, because the first day I really felt that way, but the next day we were doing debrief. God was speaking to me and saying, you know, you're not just here to chaperone these kids. Like, I brought you here because I want to show you something. You know, I want to teach you something. So I had to change my attitude. And then we had to do so much manual labor, right? Like, one of the days we went all the way to Crossroads, which is in Toon Moon. And Crossroads is an organization that collect unused secondhand items, and they connect. They're like the middleman, basically. And there's all these other organizations and refugee camps and different things that need secondhand furniture, secondhand clothing, or whatever. And Crossroads collects them all, and then they ship it over. So we had to go and volunteer. And there were different jobs. There was the electrical job where they sat in an air-conditioned room. And I think basically they just had to clean a few things. And there was the computer job, which, again, air-conditioned room, and they had to clean out the monitors and whatever. I had to do the furniture job. And the furniture job was, we're in the furniture room where there is no AC, but they had some fans. And basically, it wasn't too bad. We just had to reorganize some furniture because they get furniture every day and they give away furniture every day. So we had to like shuffle different things, couches and big things. And I thought, that's not bad. You know, I can do this. It's a little hot, a little tiring. But then the second part of that was going to this outdoor like furniture stock area. And we had to move like 4 or 5 giant beds with the mattress on it. So it was, I was like, what are we doing? And it was so heavy and it was so hot. It was one of the hottest days of the week. So I was like, so uncomfortable. And it just really pulled me out of my comfortable state. And then manual labor is one thing, but in other days, we began doing like outreaches, you know, street evangelism, worshiping outdoors, and going to a drug rehab center, and visiting just neighborhood homes, and all these things. And, you know, a part of me, I was uncomfortable, you know. I mean, street evangelism, YWAMers do it all the time. So they're like, yeah, we're going to do it. And youth kids, I think they just don't know any better. They're like, yeah, let's go do this. And I'm like, it's uncomfortable talking to strangers, like worshiping outside. People are going to be, I had all these things in my mind, you know. And so I prayed and I gave my anxiety, nervousness away to God. And I said, God, please help me. And I was able to go out and really, it was just an amazing time, you know. Going out, and I was with another guy who, he was much older, but he had some sort of a condition. So he didn't really, but maybe he was more comfortable because of that, you know. So we were out there, and he was convinced. He's like, let's just worship God out here. You have your guitar, let's just sing. I was like, really? There's all these people. Like, let's just do it. I was like, okay, Lord. And then we started worshiping, and at first I was really timid, but then I wanted to just worship God freely and just powerfully. I felt the presence of God. We were able to talk to a few people just around, and people were so much more open than I thought they would be, just talking to us and us sharing the gospel. And I was just challenged, you know. I was challenged at just how comfortable I had become being here in my safe environment. And when I was pulled out of that, I was very uncomfortable, but it energized me, and it encouraged me, you know. And it was just exciting. It was exciting to be out there in a more direct, I guess, missional engagement with the world, instead of kind of being in my safe church environment where everybody's a Christian. And I mean, and then and on one of the days we went to visit a drug rehab center, but the whole way there I was able to talk to a good, not a good friend, but a friend, but we're slowly maybe becoming better friends. But he's a pastor at ICA, Pastor Jung Ho, and he's a full-time pastor, and ICA is a huge church, and he has a lot of work, but he, out of his own desire, he runs a rugby ministry in Tin Soi Wai. He actually moved all the way to Kam Tin so he can be closer to this thing that he's doing, this rugby ministry, because he used to be a rugby player. And then on Fridays, I guess that's his day off, he tries to visit this drug rehab center as much as he can, just so he can get out of his bubble and have a more missional engagement and talk to people that are non-Christians. And he tells his youth pastors that he's kind of mentoring. He says, how many non-Christian friends do you have outside of this church? And they're like, none. I mean, we always just hang out with this youth group kids and with the other youth pastors and all these things. And it was just challenging them. He's like, you got to go out there. You got to know people that are not Christians. You got to engage with them. You got to share gospel with them. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I don't have any non-Christian friends either. Like, it's so comfortable for me just to be here with all my Christian friends and do and live my life. And it's comfortable, but it's also passive. I'm not going out there. I'm not drawing my sword and, you know, drawing blood with the gospel, so to speak. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus talks to the church, right? And he says, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Gates of hell will not overpower the church. And we've talked about this at church before, that a gate, what's the purpose of a gate? A gate is meant to keep people out of whatever the gate is guarding, right? And it says the gates of hell will not overpower the church, meaning the church is supposed to be on the offensive. Oftentimes we think the church is a place of refuge and safety, and we have gates around the church, and we don't want to let the enemy and hell, you know, come into our church, and we are like, pray for protection. But the picture that Jesus drew of the church was, we're the ones going into places, going into hell, and destroying the works of the enemy, right? It says Jesus Christ came that he may destroy the works of the enemy. And so we're given that job as well, to go and destroy the works of the enemy, and the gates of hell will not be able to stop us from doing that. And we see that in Acts, right? We see that through Peter and John and Paul and Stephen and Philip. They were always on the offensive, infiltrating their culture and bringing the gospel to everybody, you know, everyone that they connected with. Everywhere they went, they were sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, street evangelism, and just outside preaching and all that stuff. And they were not afraid, and they weren't passive in their Christian walk. But sometimes, I mean, we're all different. So my calling is different from your calling, but I think we can be passive in the church, you know? We can be passive where we go to our house church and it's very good and it's encouraging. We come to church on Sundays and it's very good, it's encouraging. But we just get focused on how we can get fed and how we can kind of grow and learn and have a nice time as a church. And we don't go out and actually do the work that we're called to do, which is really to bring the love of God, the light of God, to the community that's around us. So I just want to encourage us today. Let's not be passive. Let's not be those that keep our sword from bloodshed out of laziness or out of just being in the comfort zone or out of fear of man or whatever, but let's look for opportunities, you know? Look for opportunities where we can, you know, get out of this comfortable place and really, you know, like a direct assault. Be on the offensive against what the enemy is doing. Instead of just, I don't know, sometimes we get so comfortable and we just get on the defensive. But let's be on the offensive, you know? And there's lots of things you can do. There's Alpha Ministry, which means you can invite your non-Christian friends to this thing. You can pray for them, and then invite them. There's SP Lights. There is the prison ministry. There is the homie visit. I'm sure there's other things you can do that's going on at church you can get involved in, and outside of the church that you can get involved with as well. So I just want to encourage us here, and hopefully people that are listening through our website too, you know, that we would engage, you know, on the offensive work instead of just being passive and being comfortable. So let's pray. And Jeff's going to lead us in worship. God, thank you. Thank you for this word, and thank you for speaking to me. And I know I'm challenged, God, and I'm that I really need your help as well in engaging with this world more missionally, really being on the offensive in terms of, you know, more directly involved in destroying the works of the enemy, God, really being able to share the gospel with this world and looking for opportunities for that. And I pray for our church as well, Solomon's Porch, and everyone that's listening through the website. I pray that our church would not be a passive church, you know, that our church will not just get so inward focused and be comfortable within the church, God, that we forget to be on the offensive, that we forget to draw bloodshed from the enemy, God, that we forget to destroy what the enemy is doing, and really take the love of God and the light of God to this world that needs it. So I pray that you would encourage us and challenge us and give us opportunities like what I had, God, where we are awakened from our comfortable place. So thank you. We love you. Thank you.
Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep. Roll through the caverns of my soul.
Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. I think prayer, intercession also is one great way to really be on the offensive, you know, attack what the enemy is doing. So let's pray together, and let's pray not passively, you know, just letting things be, but let's really pray with fervency. Let's pray with faith. With a real love for our friends and brothers and sisters on this list. So let's pray together. Let's pray. Let's pray first for the people that are going through cancer or going through chemo and radiation therapy or had a surgery or is going to do surgery and they need God's healing, God's power. So let's pray for our people on this list. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are struggling with illness, but they also need salvation. They need to encounter the Lord. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for healing, but also humility and openness of heart that they would receive Jesus into their lives. Let's pray together. Let's go to the third slide, various infirmities that our church members and their family members are going through. Let's pray for healing for them. Let's pray for encouragement. Let's pray together. Pray for our friends that are still looking for a job. Let's pray for provision and favor and direction and encouragement for them. Let's pray. Go to our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for Grace and Ashley at Bloom. Pray for the Bloom staff. They always ask for prayer for the Bloom Khmer staff because they can really be effective in ministering to the girls there. So let's pray for them. Pray for Pastor O and his organization, Vision to Reality, there. And pray for Pastor Tang. The trips are done, so we can take that out. So we pray for Pastor Tang and New Life Church. New Life Church is a church that we partner with when we go for the worship team trip. So let's pray for Cambodia. Thank you. Let's pray for the board. Please pray for everyone on the board, and that they would be able to really hear from God for the church, but pray also for their personal lives, that God would really bless them and fill them with joy and give them favor in their workplaces. And, they're sacrificing a lot to be on the board. So let's really pray for them and cover them. For our hospitality ministries, welcoming team, and barista. And let's pray that they will continue to really show the love of God through what they do, just even saying hello and greeting people and taking them to their seat, serving coffee, that they would do it with God's love. And many people will be encouraged. New people will feel so loved by this ministry. So let's pray for the hospitality ministry. Thank you. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love for us, God. We want to walk with you today in everything that we do. And Lord, if there's opportunities, God, for us to share Christ with others, I pray that we would take that opportunity. And thank you that you are walking with us. I pray for just the joy of God to be with us throughout the rest of this day. And help us to always just be thinking of you and stay close to you throughout the day. Thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.